start over. The matter before you today involves First Simple Church's request for authorization to install a 5-foot wide by 77 foot long church community pier extending a maximum of 67 feet channelward of mean low water with a 14 foot by 6 foot L head and two sets of 4-foot wide stairs adjacent to property situated along the Chickahominy River at 16401 Chickahominy Bluff Road in Charles City County. This project is protested by 6 nearby property owners. First Simple Church was founded and is operated by Dr. Sam Fry. The church's property is located just over the Route 5 bridge from James City County in Charles City County. The property is located off Chickahominy Bluff Road near the Ferry Point community. And the shoreline of the property is south of Route 5 Bridge and just north of Ferry Point. This aerial was taken from Charles City County's real estate GIS website, and I think it's a good slide because it shows you the church's property, which is fairly unique. Everything outlined in red belongs to the First Simple Church, according to the GIS website. The church building in the front of the lot begins on Route 5, and you can see it extends south-southeast by about 0.3 miles towards the Chickahominy River and terminates in about 107 feet of shoreline on the Chickahominy River. You can also tell from this aerial that this small community is predominantly residential. You can see several residential piers and boathouse structures along this stretch of the shoreline. This area is actually zoned as agriculture, or A1, and according to the Charles City County zoning ordinance, the church is administratively authorized to operate in an A1 area as a by right use. So it's a unique mix of residential and the church. This is taking a closer look at the shoreline, and I'd just like to point out that as the church's property extends towards the river, it touches the top of this vegetative tidal wetland system. And it's actually, this tidal wetland system is fed by a couple guts here at Ferry Point, and it also has an intertidal area again on the Chickahominy River. The church's property involves a community use walkway that will begin in the upland near the church building that will be a gravel path leading through the RPA, or the Resource Protection Area. When it comes to this wetland area here, it will then transition into an elevated open pile boardwalk, and then it will transition into a platform that will be in the intertidal zone on the shoreline, and then the pier that will actually extend out. And that is the area, or the structure that's in the jurisdiction of the commission, is the pier. The pier will be 67 feet channelward to low water, 5 feet wide, and it will have a 6 foot by 14 foot L head. The purpose of this project is for the parishioners of the church to have access to the waterfront for activities such as meditation, reflection, and baptisms in the river. The church's proposed pier requires a subaqueous permit from the commission because although the church is a private entity, it's going to be a multi-user pier for the various parishioners of the church. Therefore, the church's pier is actually not a private pier consistent with those that are statutorily authorized under 28.2.1203.5 of the Code of Virginia. As I said in the beginning, this project is opposed by 6 nearby property owners in the small community. I'd like to point out that the northern property owner, Mr. and Mrs. Spencer, who own this pier here, are opposed to the project, as is the downriver neighbor, Mr. Paul Dresser, in addition to Mrs. Inga Curtis, Miss Doris Fullwider, Mr. Donald Charity, and Mr. and Mrs. Dewey Clemens. This is the first plan view drawing associated with the pier, and this is showing the details. You can see this will be the intertidal platform, and then it will extend the pier will extend 67 feet from mean low water, 5 feet in width, with a 6 foot by 14 foot L head. This plan view drawing is showing the pier as it relates to the other shoreline structures, giving us benchmarks for where the pier will be located on the property. And then this is a plan view that just shows the pier in relation to mean low and mean high water. This is a cross-section of the pier, and you can see on the left here is that intertidal platform, the pier, which will extend 67 feet from mean low water, and then you have the L head here. And the height will actually be 7 feet 6 inches above the bottom. These are ground shots that were taken at an October 2012 site visit. Staff actually learned of this project fairly early on because Mr. and Mrs. Spencer contacted staff over concerns they had with the project. I made a site visit in October 2012, and at that visit, I discussed with Mr. and Mrs. Spencer general permitting requirements for any project the church might want to undertake. The Spencers also expressed their concern over the recent removal of trees that had occurred along the property line and possible clearing and disturbance of wetland vegetation that the county staff, according to Mr. and Mrs. Spencer, had authorized. At the meeting, I advised that work in the wetlands may require a permit depending on the extent of the work, and that tree removal is at the discretion of the county under the Chesapeake Bay Ordinance. And I want to note that this is a shot of the church's shoreline standing on Mr. and Mrs. Spencer's pier looking downriver. This is also taken from the pier, a more front-on shot of the shoreline, and then finally a broader look at the shoreline, again looking downriver from the pier. This was taken in the upland area along Mr. and Mrs. Spencer's property line that joins the churches, and this is looking east toward the river, and this is the beginning of the elevated boardwalk that will run through the jurisdictional wetlands. Charles City County has approved the construction of both the gravel path and the elevated boardwalk and intertidal platform, as they are exempt under the two ordinances that regulate them. The boardwalk and the platform provide reasonable access to a water-dependent structure, which is the pier, and that's authorized under the county's Chesapeake Bay Ordinance. The open pile non-commercial structures are statutorily authorized by the Wetlands Ordinance pursuant to Section 28.2.1302.3.1. Mr. Matt Rowe, the county planning director, who also serves as the wetland staff, has determined that the church's project is non-commercial, and therefore it is exempt from requiring a wetlands permit. This decision by the wetlands staff to consider this non-commercial is consistent with previous county action for a pier request by Westover Church in Charles City County in 2001. Staff made several other site visits to the property, one in April and one in May. In April, staff was anonymously notified that woody vegetated debris and logs had been dumped in the upper fringes of the wetland area. Staff made a follow-up site visit with Mrs. Deborah Fry, the wife of Dr. Sam Fry, Mr. Pete Childs, who's the project manager for this, and Mr. Matt Rowe, the county staff in attendance. At this meeting, we advised Mrs. Fry and Mr. Childs to remove all vegetated debris from the wetlands area. And Mrs. Fry, the Fries in general, and Mr. Childs were very cooperative and took quick action to have everything removed. I was also notified on Friday afternoon that the church had begun undertaking the gravel path portion of the project and ended up dispersing some gravel in the wetlands area. After coordinating with the county contacted the applicants and asked them to remove all of the wetlands, all the gravel from the wetlands, because that's a violation, and they complied. This is a final shot standing in the area of the intertidal zone, looking out across the river in the general vicinity of the pier. In the public interest review, we received 6 letters of protest for the project. All protestants live in the immediate community, and they all object to a community pier in a residential area. They question the need for the pier, given that there's public access and a public pier and river access a short distance away from the church property. They all express concern over unrestricted access by the general public, issues with noise and privacy, and impacts to the surrounding natural resources associated with this project. Mr. and Mrs. Spencer, who own the pier here, that will be immediately adjacent to the church's pier, have deep concerns about a community pier immediately adjacent to their private pier. Mrs. Inga Curtis, in her letter, detailed the adverse impacts already sustained by the wetlands and by nesting osprey as a result of vegetative clearing activity that has occurred as associated with the project. Several other protestants have expressed their dismay with the church's activity to date and the lack of communication and coordination with the surrounding property owners. We received comments from BIMS, and BIMS's comments note that there is an SAV bed in the vicinity of the proposed pier, and they recommend that the pier avoid the SAV bed. In addition, they request minimizing the pier and L-head width to the minimum necessary, reducing the length of the pier to the minimum necessary, and orienting the pier in a north-south direction to the greatest extent possible. Department of Conservation and Recreation also submitted comments, and their comments document the existence of sensitive joint vetch in the project area. This is a state and federal listed tidal wetland plant. They recommend conducting a survey for the plant, and they also recommend coordinating with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service given the legal status of this plant species. Charles City County has approved both the upland and the wetlands portion of the project pursuant to the Chesapeake Bay Ordinance and the Wetlands Ordinance. The church's pier is a modest pier. There are similar, if not smaller, several residential piers along this stretch of the river. Their pier meets the recommendations as provided by VIMS. It's minimal in use, and the L-head will be oriented in a north-south direction. If this pier were a private single-family pier, it would be statutorily authorized pursuant to Section 28.2.12035 of the Code of Virginia and would require no further authorization from the Commission. Staff does not believe that a survey for sensitive joint vetch is necessary because the the VMRC authorization will be authorizing impacts to subaqueous lands. But we have provided the applicant with a copy of the Department of Conservation and Recreation's comments so they are aware of this issue. Staff is sympathetic to the protestants' concerns over a community pier in a residential area and the associated potential impacts to privacy, increased noise and traffic, and the impacts of surrounding natural resources. To that end, the Wetlands Ordinance and the Chesapeake Bay Act authorize the impacts to the wetlands and the RPA associated with water-dependent open pile structures. As far as land use and zoning, localities make those decisions. Charles City County has authorized the church to exist and operate in this agriculturally zoned residential community. Staff respects county's decisions to allow a church to exist in this area, and as owners of a waterfront lot, the church has a reasonable expectation to access the water. So, summary and recommendation. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by the opposition to the project and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project as proposed. In addition, staff recommends a royalty of $134.70 for the encroachment of the pier over 449 square feet of state-owned bottom at a rate of 30 cents per square foot. And I believe both the applicant and the protestants are represented today, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Juliet at this point? All right. Juliet, I had a couple of questions just for clarity. VIMS had a number of recommendations, and it's, you believe all of those conditions have been met?
For the jurisdictional part of the project, yes.
All right, in terms of size, orientation of the pier, height.
Yeah, the pier width is 5 feet. The L head is small at 6 feet, 14 feet, 6 feet wide, 14 feet long. And that orientation of the L head will be in a north-south direction. I think VIMS would prefer the whole pier to be north-south, but I'm not sure they can do that given the orientation of the shoreline. And the height of the pier will be 5 feet over high water.
What about this SAV bed? Is it avoided?
That's why they requested these recommendations, because they have data that show that there is historically SAV that has grown there.
So there's none there now, but there has been historically.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there is any there now. The applicant said there isn't. VIM says that there is or historically has been, so that's why they required these recommendations.
But these recommendations will avoid the SAV bed. And I think you also spoke to this, but how does this structure compare in size to other existing structures along that shoreline?
It's very similar. The maximum channel word encroachment is in a line with the rest of the piers that are along the stretch of the shoreline. Some of the other piers along the shoreline have boathouses and slips. This does not. This is just a simple pier with an L head, so it's fairly comparable.
Okay. Thank you. Any other, Mr. Tanker?
Further on that, just by looking at the drawings and the photo that you have, the adjacent pier looks almost a mirror of what they propose. Is that somewhat correct?
Yes, that's about correct. I think they might have a slightly larger L head, but yes, that will be roughly the same orientation and
same design, et cetera.
Yeah, the church's L head will face downriver, whereas the upriver pier faces upriver.
Mr. Beck?
What is the intended purpose of the pier, basically?
It is for the parishioners to access the water for meditation and reflection and to conduct baptisms in the river.
Ms. Haney?
What is the distance between the proposed pier and that neighboring pier that was shown in the picture?
60 feet, according to the drawings.
Okay. Any other questions? All right, is the applicant present? Wish to be heard?
Yes, sir.
Please come. Okay. Please come forward. Could those of you who wish to speak for First Simple Church please stand and let me swear all of you in at this time?
Even the opposition?
No, we'll get to you in a minute. Do you swear the testimony you will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you.
My name is Robert Peter Childs, and Carolyn Grace Childs is my tag team partner. And Carolyn Grace and I have been involved with this project almost from the start. And the purpose that you have is to preserve and protect the wetlands. Grace and I, we worked together for some time, and we began this project by removing 13 cubic yards of debris that included chicken wire, pipes, angle irons, hardened sacks of cement, and parts of equipment, and other fencing. Now, those who oppose us have said that this is an issue of preserving and protecting the wetlands. But when we came there and we had vegetative debris and other industrial debris, we spent hundreds of hours in removing this. So we're saying that what we're doing is better than by far what was there before. This has a very personal meaning to me. My seventh great grandfather is Lieutenant Colonel Walter Childs. On the third expedition to Jamestown, he came there, and he and a gentleman named Jeremy Johnson were ones who were expeditionary to Charles City County as commissioned from James City County. He actually worked this area, and he actually was someone who had tobacco plantations and all. And for me and for Gracie, this is something that we feel very strongly about, and it's part of our faith in working with preserving land and working with the wildlife. We've worked really hard to have this certified and designated forever as a wildlife habitat, and we have a vision of being able to come here and to express our faith, to have baptism, which we've already had a baptism last Sunday for a one-year anniversary. So the thing that I'm trying to say is that if it's about preserving and protecting the wetlands, as I'm told, then I think that that would have been demonstrated well before we ever got there. And what we have done has been a tremendous job, as told by the community and the local officials. We've done a good job, and what we're doing is going to get only better. The one thing that I would say is that we have complied, and we have, if there were issues, even if it was debatable, we immediately responded and we took care of any issue that has been brought to our attention. I just thank you for this time, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Tiger.
Mr. Childs, tell me just a little bit about First Assembly Church. The folks who are opposed to you are, I think, concerned, as I understand it, that there will be more public access than is perhaps warranted for an area like this. Will this be, through your church, allow a lot of other people to be have access to this area? So, one, tell me about who this church is and the issue of public access relevant to the church's use.
This church is actually a small church. I was once told that someone said we had 200 members. We have 20 members. We have in attendance maybe 40 to 50. It is the intent of this church not to grow any larger the way that our alliance works is we plant other churches. It's not going to be a big show place. We're not going to have unlimited guests for all sorts of events. It's not like that. In fact, it's posted as such, church members only, even at this moment. The church is a very non-traditional in that we are not we're not a church that has restrictions in terms of or unusual practices or anything. In fact, whenever I first spoke with the neighbors and explained to them what we were doing, they were afraid because they'd heard that practices like snake biting and things like that, and it's nothing like that. We're a simple church. We have a very simple message of accepting others, and we haven't had any kind of events that were, and will not have any events that are controversial or loud or after hours. You know, we're not going to be partying down at the river if that's what they're afraid of.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, who's next? Where the testimony you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you.
Please. I'm Debbie Fry, and I'm the ministry director at First Baptist Church. On April 9th, 2012, when we were just beginning to take possession of the property, we sent a letter to the neighbors in our community, introducing ourselves to them, telling them about our desire to improve the property and the trail to the river. We invited any to come and meet with us and ask us questions, and we did get one reply, and that was from Mr. and Mrs. Spencer. Their letter was not friendly and stated only that if anyone from the church set a foot on their property, it would be deemed trespassing, and unfortunately set a tone right away that we were not welcome. We have done everything we can to be good neighbors, to put out communication and to invite communication with the neighbors. And as you know, we have some objections to the project of our pier. We believe that the neighbors' main objection is privacy-based, and we understand. We all want our privacy, and we respect the privacy of those around us. But we do own the church property and desire to use it just within the bounds of the law, no more, no less. We've had some questions about from our attenders about Mr. Spencer at times when we've been working along the trail, or even this past Sunday when we were baptizing in the river. Mr. Spencer was observed taking pictures and at other times hiding behind a building on his property in a tree, watching and taking pictures of what we're doing. And that has made some of our families and children uncomfortable. So we respect their privacy, but also would like the same respect as well. We've made significant improvements to the property. When we obtained the church property, it was an eyesore. It was a building that had not been occupied for a while. The grass was 2 feet tall. Building was dilapidated. There was animals living in the building, and we put quite an investment into improving it. And we've gotten compliments from some of the neighbors and also Charles City County on the nice look of the building and the improvements that we've made. We focus on changing lives and helping people and loving people, and our outreach is to first responders. We have police and firefighters that attend regularly, whose families are coming together and lives are being changed. We are here to make a positive impact in the community and wish no negative impact on our neighbors at all. We believe so strongly in our ministry that my husband does not take a salary as a pastor. We are here to serve the community. We are just asking for the same rights and privileges as the neighbors have around us. No more, no less. Thank you.
Questions for Ms. Fry? Mr. Sessions.
Is the intent for the parishioners to use it to walk out there, like you say, I've heard, for reflection and that type of thing? Has there been talk about it for mooring boats in addition to that?
I'm going to defer that to our pastor when he comes up to speak. He can talk to that. Our main intent is to have just a quiet walking path and pier for devotion and reflection.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. We will hear from you momentarily.
Yeah,
sure.
I just to
all right. Why don't you come on up? We'll have to swear you in. We have to make it official. It's all on the record. Do you swear the testimony you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Help you, God.
I do.
Thank you. State your name, please.
I'm Cindy Steger.
Go ahead.
We attend the church, my husband and I, and we own a boat, and we do use the Chickahominy and Ginger for a lot. It's a 22-foot inboard outboard. And
speak into the mic a little bit,
I'm
please.
Sorry. It's a 22-foot inboard outboard. We would probably not use the dock as a means to tie up unless there was maybe perhaps an emergency or something like that. We're unsure as boaters that there are cypress trees, and we would not want our prop to hit a cypress tree. So I can't speak for the other people who attend the church about using boats, but I can tell you that we probably would not.
Thank you. Anyone else from the church? You swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So up you go.
I do.
Thank you.
I am one of six people who started this church.
Let us have your name.
I'm sorry. My name is Stephanie Barber. I'm one of six people who started this ministry. And use access to and use of the property by the water was a big part of our decision whether or not to buy this property. I understand our opposers wanting privacy. When I bought my house, I didn't have any neighbors on either side, and it was great. And we paid extra money not to have any neighbors behind us. We paid a premium for land that couldn't hold another house behind us. But we knew we didn't own the property on either side, so someone would probably build a house there. And one of our neighbors can look directly into our house from their window upstairs, and I don't like that. Both of our neighbors can watch us in our backyard play, our kids play, and swim in our pool. But I can be upset about it. I have every right to be upset about it, but I don't have any right to complain because it's not my property. It's their property, and they're using it just like I'm using mine. There was a tree removed just over our property line in our backyard. That was my favorite tree, and it ruined my view of my backyard because now I see power lines. For several years until it grew up a little bit, I saw power lines, and it was a healthy tree, and there was really, in my eyes, no need to remove it. However, it wasn't on my property. It wasn't my tree. So I don't feel that I have any reason to complain because it's not something that I own. They took it down for a reason because they felt it would hang up a tree that was leaning that they did have to take down. It fell nowhere near that tree, but again, not my property. They made that decision that it's their property. So anyway, I do understand the desire for privacy. However, we have not been afforded the same using our church property. As recently as 2 days ago, we were out using the property really for the first time as an entire church, and we were our neighbor, Mr. Spencer, was out taking pictures of us, which made me uncomfortable. My children were out there, and I did not appreciate that. I felt invaded. I wouldn't do that to someone else. I wouldn't do that to my neighbor, nor would I expect my neighbor to do that to me in my community. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Barber?
One question.
Mr. Tank.
When you said your, I think you said entire church was there, how many people was that?
60 people. We had guests because it was a special event. So there were, I'm not sure if there were 60 people down there. Not everybody came down. But there were several families, and we were using the river.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I appreciate your all's time. I am.
You swear the testimony you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
My name is Dr. Sam Fry. I'm the pastor, founding pastor of First Simple Church. A couple of things. I couldn't see because of the block view here, but one of the gentlemen had the purpose, had a question about what the ministry is all about. We do have one of our district representatives here. If you have any questions, I'd like to call him up, and he'd be happy to explain what the denomination is. It's the Wesleyan Church. It's an offshoot of the Methodist ministry. As Pete Childs talked earlier, there's a lot of innuendos and disingenuous claims that are being put out there. We simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We teach and preach the gospel message. That's it. Two particular outreaches that we cater to is first responders. I'm a little bit different pastor. I'm also a 30-year defense strategist and analyst. I'm a Marine and also a James City County cop. So I wear a lot of different hats. So when it comes to taking orders, when it comes to following regulations, and when it comes to trying to interpret this thing called riparian buffers, I think I understand more than I ever thought I wanted to. But regardless of that, we are simply there trying to take advantage of what's ours. That's it. And as my wife said, nothing more, nothing less. A couple of things I'm going to try to get through this very quickly. I don't want to repeat what Juliet had said, but since April of last year, there have been over 10 complaints lodged by Mr. Spencer to both Charles City and VMRC regarding unlawful activity. We've never made one move. We've never pulled one twig. We've never made one decision without having staff's input. We've never, even if I had questions, we went directly to them. On May 8th, a letter from Charles City County states, after visiting the site, the county and VMRC have found the site to be compliant at this time. Thank you and your involved church members for doing all the grunt work. The amount of trash, the amount of debris, the amount of just plain trash that was all along there that was placed there by someplace, somebody, sometime, was overwhelming. April 25th letter from Charles City says, based upon a site inspection conducted by the staff again on April 23rd, First Simple Church and its activities up to this point are in conformance with all local, state, and federal environmental laws and regulations. The churches, as Juliet said, were exempt from other entities. We are zoned A1. In a July 16th letter from Charles City County, it says, in 2001, county staff deemed that churches are non-commercial issues or uses, and as such meet the exemption from Wetlands Board VMRC number 010634, Westover Church Pier. In accordance with the mentioned previous determination and the precedent, it established your proposed pier is also exempt due to the church's non-commercial status. I went through the objection letters, and the objection letters seemed to focus on one thing, privacy. They seemed to focus on this term community. To the person's question over here about the numbers, who's going to be using it, as I look at the law and I understand the law, the numbers isn't so important as opposed to the right of usage. But to that question, my passion as a minister is not to grow this ministry. Contrast that to other pastors. I believe in a church of multiplicity. A multiplicity is when we get to 100 or 125 members, our mission is to plant another church. More people come to know the Lord within the first 2 to 3 years of a new ministry. I am not there to develop the Sam Fry Memorial. I am there to, the building is only so big. It's 3,100 square feet. You can sit 127 people. That's it. We may go to two services. Don't know. Only the Lord knows that. But the reality is simply this. When you start looking at the use of the pier, I've had parents come to me, say, where can I take my kid fishing? I was different in a different environment. I could go in a fish pond. I could go in a farm pond. We don't have that today. But I want families to be able to take their kids fishing. I want to be able to sit there and use the natural resources. I would venture to guess that we're not going to be using our pier any more than Mr. Spence or anybody else or any other family that has the weekend barbecues and sessions that they have. I'd like for First Simple Church supporters to stand up. Now, I'd like for you to look at the demographics here. Not a lot of these people are going to be playing Leonard Skinner and tapping kegs on a Saturday night. It's just the way it is, so thank you. Out of a 35-person congregation, we had many that came in here, took off from work at their own expense. One of the things that I'm passionate about, and I'm empathetic to all the neighbors, I really am. It's an emotional side on the church side. It's the emotional side on the neighbor side. But we've been borderline bullied, harassed. We've stayed within the law. When I go back to the peer use, we have a natural place to sit there and observe Easter sunrise service. Nothing's wrong with that. When I start looking at the July 29th letter to VMRC from Charles City County, First Simple Church has all the necessary approvals from the county peer if approved by VMRC. All of the properties, including the church's property along Chickahominy Bluff Road, are zoned A1 agricultural. They have been zoned this designation since 1980. Many of the objection letters say, treat us like we're a new kid on the block. This church was built in 1990 as a church. It closed doors in a few years. It became a construction shop. It sat vacant for several years. It was a homeless shelter for several years. As my wife identified, we have done nothing. One of the things that she didn't put in there, we took many, many resources to the tune of $150,000 to make improvements in this building, to make improvements in the land use in terms of presentation. And contrary to maybe what you're going to hear in a few minutes, we have had appreciation letters from Charles City County as well as from other neighbors in the area. It says, and this is very important, they've been zoned this designation since 1980. Per Section 5-222, a house of worship is permitted by right use, and is permitted administratively. Therefore, the church use itself is permitted along with the neighbor's single-family dwelling use. Prior to the county issuing the building permit, applicants shall submit a water quality impact assessment, which was submitted to the county several weeks ago. One of the things that I looked at, I need to understand what people's jurisdictions are. As a cop, I don't like a lot of laws, but my decision or my authority is not to define the laws, not to develop them, but I am required to enforce the law. When I look at the fact that from staff's letter and recommendation, the commission has jurisdiction over the land's channelward of the mean low water line. That's all we're asking for. We're asking for a ruling to give us the same rights and privileges as our neighbors. And this is from staff. With regard to the church's project, we support the decision of the wetland staff to consider the pier boardwalk as non-commercial. And finally, before I sit down, I want to also bring out the fact that the Religious Land Use and Institutional Lies Persons Act of 2000, or LUPA, 42 U.S. States Code 2000, does not discriminate against churches, does not discriminate against new churches, unknown churches. I would, before I sit down and have the neighbors a chance to speak, would like one of our District Board of Administrators to come up here, who represents the Shenandoah District of 80 churches, to come up in case you have any questions about our ministry. One of the things I decided to do when I opened up a ministry is that I would not just hang a shingle out, but I wanted full accountability. And we have full accountability by over 500 churches in the denomination.
Thank you. Any questions for Dr. Fry? Any questions about the ministry? I think we're good at this point, and thank you. Is that it for the proponents? I think it is. I think we've heard from everyone. Let's.
Is there a need for me from the denomination?
I don't think so. I think we're good. Thank you. We'll hear now from the opponents. Could you stand if you wish to speak in opposition? All right. Do you swear that the testimony you will give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? All right. Come on forward.
My name is Doris Fullwater. I live at 16430 Chickahominy Bluff Road in Charles City County. And that's in the Ferry Point residential neighborhood of 9 homes. Some of my concerns for allowing a community pier to be constructed in my neighborhood are that it is open to the public. Even though I know they say it's church members, there's nothing as far as I know, to keep anyone from the public to coming down any time, day or night, to use the area where the pier is to be located. Since there is little or no parking near the pier area, people will be parking at the end of our street, in the church lot, and walking through our neighborhood at all hours of the day and night, possibly. I am worried about our safety, trash thrown out on the road and by those fishing on the pier, and traffic, as the public will be literally walking, driving on a dead-end road along the back of our yards. I also feel a public pier in the neighborhood may decrease the value of our property. In addition, I have concerns about the environmental impact on wetlands in the area. When I got my permit to install my pier and seawall, I was called to advise not even to pull any marsh grass near the waterline. These applicants have cut down trees near the river's edge, including cypress trees, disturbing osprey nests, and using heavy equipment on the water's edge and put gravel down on wetlands. This by itself should be enough reason not to issue a permit for a pier. We as a community do not need or want a public pier in our neighborhood, especially since one is located directly across the river. Since the applicants have shown no respect for the environment or wetlands or the impact on our neighborhood, I respectfully request the board not issue a permit to install a community public pier on the property located next to the home of John and Patricia Spencer, who live at 16600 Chickahominy Bluff Road. Said land is located in Charles City County next to a small strip of land owned by First Temple Church, who have applied for authorization to install a community pier. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you, ma'am.
My name is Inga Curtis. I live on 16540 Chickahominy Bluff Road. I'm a certified Virginia Master Naturalist, and I have been observing for the Osprey Watch. I've been observing the osprey nest in the area for the last 3 years. I have a scope that I've watched the nest. I do not necessarily watch the site, but one of the nests is at their site. And I've watched with dismay and absolute horror how the trees were cut down, the bushes were ripped out, and earth-moving equipment was stuck there for a whole night. It was left running because they couldn't get it out of the muck. And so the ospreys, and one day the osprey already had young, the chainsaw was being used, children are bathing, the ospreys were diving in distress. The people had no clue of what they were doing, and the osprey deserted, abandoned the nest. And there are several other just around the bend into the James River where this pier would jut into. There is no question of the destruction I've seen in this last year that much of the wetlands will be left intact the way it was. And yes, there was trash. I have trash on my beach all the time. It comes up the river, down the river. We just pick it up and remove it. Since their site hadn't been used, I'm sure a lot of it accumulated there. But it wasn't anything that anyone did to it. It's just the nature of living on the beach. I think the road, our little road, is about 1,000 feet. It took me 3 tries on Sunday to get out of my driveway to get to church on time, which I never made. So, yes, it's the numbers we're talking. I understand anyone would like to use a waterfront, but 4 people, 6 people, that's one thing. But between a 50 and 100, that is just a little much for a neighborhood that consists of 9 houses. So I would really urge you not to. There is a pier right across the river. It's a 5-minute walk, and they can fish there all they like, or they can fish off the land as it is now. They don't need a pier to do that. So I will, hopefully, you will not allow the pier to be built. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
I suppose I'm John Spencer. I'm the bad guy, evidently. But I live 16,600 Chickahominy Bluff Road. My property is adjacent to the church property. My greatest concern is the erosion that this pier might cause. At this point, there are no stakes to where this pier will go, which I was under the impression they were required to do, but I don't know where my property is or where their pier is exactly is going to go. Also, it's a little bit longer, like 12 yards longer than I had that was stated before. I think it was 65, now 77, but that's here and there. But the vegetation has been removed in approximately the last 10 months and is still being removed. This has had quite an impact on holding the bank at high tide. Everything's been cut down to the water. At high tide, that water just rushes in. It's starting to wash out my property as well as theirs. And, of course, the wake from the boats are going to have a big impact on that because it's going to come right into the shore. So it's already eroded back several feet from the clearing out of all those trees. There's nothing there to prevent it. There's some larger trees there that look like they will probably go with the water surrounding in the water now. Will probably not last long. There are surface trees and knees that I certainly hope will not be taken out. The bayberry is now being cut back. The water floods the wetland and forms a great ground for mosquitoes. I'm sure that, it's probably Pete. Knows that when it is eroding, it's soft, and he got the machinery hung up down there for a good while. So I would appreciate somebody, the Corps engineers or somebody that's familiar or knows knowledge of erosion, maybe could come down and just look at that area, take a look at it and see what they think. I've been there for 28 and a half years, and I know with storms and high tide what it can do. So, again, I would I strongly disapprove this, and I hope the board would not approve this pier. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Spencer? Mr. Plumley.
Mr. Spencer.
Yes, sir.
You're the property just immediately adjacent to this But you already have a pier. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
So is the erosion that you're concerned with from the actual placement of the pier, or is it the activity on the uplands that you're seeing right now?
Well, it's where it has been cleared out to the edge of the water to construct a pier.
All right.
It's just a steady rush of water.
It's the staging area for the construction. All right.
I have a question.
Mr. Beck.
If you say that trees have been removed, that's against environmental law.
Well, I don't think I personally said that. It was stated before.
I thought I heard somebody say
But, that. Well, they have, yeah. So, I mean, they certainly have. I mean, we're talking about a long, from where the church is located up on Route 5, all the way down to the riverfront. Of course, making the pathway certainly had to cut down.
I'm speaking primarily of 100 feet from the water.
Let's get a clarification on that from staff. Juliet, can you
talk? Yes, the only tree clearing I was aware of happened in RPA that was subject to county
Can we make sure we get this on the record?
Can you come up here?
The only tree clearing I was aware of happened in the RPA, or the Resource Protection Area, which would have happened under the county's authority under the Chesapeake Bay Ordinance.
And that was lawful activity?
According to the county, yes.
Approved by the county?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Spencer? Seeing none, thank you, sir. Thank you. Who's next? Is that everyone?
I'm Dewey Clemens. I'm a retired NASA aerospace research engineer. I've been living in this community since 1963. I drove 40 miles every day, one way, back and forth, because I liked it up there so well as a resident. Now, the church is coming in, and as Dr. Fry mentioned, the church originally built that building. But the neighbors weren't involved in that decision to let the church build there to start with. Just the county made this choice. No neighborhood discussion or anything. So that church lasted about a year, two, three. They went away. They were all from James City County. People that opened it and people that came to it, as far as I know. After they went away, they owned it right on. They rented it to somebody that let Williamsburg and James City send their homeless folks over there to live in that building. They'd live there at night and go back and forth to Williamsburg. And there were a bunch of people, undesirable community people, discovered there, and they chased them up the county. Then a construction group came in and bought the building. And they had their offices there for a short while. Then they left that. That's when they were building the bridge up there. They left that, and these folks bought it. I'd like to use a slide, if I could. I don't know how this thing works.
Juliet will help you.
Does it work?
Oh, you have an overhead you want to show us? Okay.
I don't know.
Linda?
I'd like to put this on the board. This is the same slide the young lady used before, and I got it from the same place she got hers, I think. See, this is Route 5 here. The Chickahominy River Bridge is right about here. Come off the bridge, go a couple hundred feet, turn into Chickahominy Bluff Road. That's this little road right here. And all the people that are complaining about this operation, about fear, live from here in this area. That's a development that started back in 1950, and there's probably about 10 homes in there altogether. And so now the church wants to use this as a passageway, I guess. This blue is their property. This is their property here, as far as I know. This property here is listed as theirs also, but I don't understand how that got grafted onto their property, because it used to be a part of this property here, which went down this line, across here, and back all the way to the river. So that piece of blue property that's identified as theirs on the internet, I don't know how it got there. I do know that property has a covenant on it. It says that no building will be done on the property. That's a forever kind of thing. It's on everybody's deed, so on mine. So that's one question about it. And I don't know if it's legal or not, but at least a covenant, that's biblical talk. Anyway, you know what covenants are.
I don't think we can help you with that issue. We're more concerned about the pier.
All right. Well, see, I'm just trying to lay the groundwork for you about the whole business. And so the pier. Now.
Point out where the pier is going.
The pier is going to be right here, somewhere off the end of this property.
Okay.
Now, they have a public facility down off the Colonial Parkway one time where they have a kind of park benches and things. Public could go out there. That got so bad by attracting people that they had to close it down. No management, no supervision of who was there or anything like that. Before any of this activity we're talking about, people used to come fish right downside this bridge. And the state had to shut that off because people would throw trash in the river and just in and out. For there all the time. So we're concerned about the influx of traffic here, people traffic. They're coming along this little road, and they're going to park here and get a couple of cars there maybe, and then they're going to have access all the way to the river. That's a problem. You don't know who they are? Some people can look out the bedroom window and see people just walking through the woods. You know, like well, anyway, I because of the unsupervised recreation that the church is proposing there for that pier, I hope you refuse it.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Clements? Seeing none, thank you, sir. We will have to keep that document for 30 days. For the record.
Is that page?
Yep, just the page you showed us.
Okay, I gave you that. She showed us a copy of it.
I know, but we want your copy too.
Okay.
We'll send it back to you.
Okay.
Who's next?
Good morning. This is my wife, Brenda Charity. My name is Donald Charity. We live at 16531 Tommy Bluff Road. And if I may, I would like to use her slide. Oh, there it is. Apologetically, because of my naivete, application or approval of this application for a pier may be to the detriment of all of us that live in that area. Initially, as was stated by Mrs. Fry, the church did contact the residents to say that they were moving into the facility and that they were establishing a church.
Do you mind asking him to speak into the
speaker?
Yeah. It might help others here.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's it. Just as Mrs. Fry stated earlier, the church did send a letter to all the residents in the area announcing that they would be moving into the facility up at the end of the road to establish a church. That's a great idea, we thought. We are not in objection to a church being that this is, I'm speaking on behalf of my wife and myself. We're not in objection to that. We were aware also of the problems that existed prior to them moving in with the previous owners and so forth and so on. That said, we are located, this is all of our property from this point right here, sorry about that, from here to here, that's our home right here. They installed the bike path along the property line. It runs along the back side of my property all the way to here and across here. Our house has it's an 80-foot long home, a 12 by 80-foot deck that runs the entire length of the home, and our bedrooms are on the back side of the home here. The church during the construction of the path installed benches along the gravel path. When I inquired about it, I was informed that the benches were put there to assist the elderly as they walk from the church down to the riverfront. And I was told that they would be approximately 80 feet apart. I went out and measured the distance between the benches, and the two benches that are directly behind my house are 200 feet apart, one in the corner right here and the other back in this vicinity right here. And both have a view of the back of my house. The one in the corner has the clearest view. I have it on the camera here. Had I known that you had the means and facilities for me to display them, I would have printed them out for you. But I do have the camera if you'd like to see it. There's this mouse going. Okay, as I was saying, the benches are within view of the back of our property. Right here you see a swimming pool, and it's surrounded by a deck that's attached to the deck that runs the length of the house. The only people that utilize that is my family and, you know, friends. But point is, people walking along the back of my house have a clear view of us, and it is sort of obtrusive. One of the proponents for the application spoke earlier, stated that she didn't think it was a problem for somebody to be looking in the back of her house. Well, that's her opinion, and that's fine. But I find it appalling that she would stand here and say something like that. But I also find it an invasion of my liberty and my privacy that people can come along there and do that. Now, the walking path, I don't have a problem. Really, I don't have a problem, that much of a problem with it. It's the location of it that I do have a problem with.
The walking path is not before us.
I realize
the benches are not before us. So
right, I realize that. But all that leads to the idea of why the application for the pier, or the proposal for putting in a pier. That path is a route to that pier. They initially told everyone in the neighborhood, or especially us, that the path was there so that they can have access to the river to conduct baptisms. I don't have a problem with that either. The problem is, once the pier is put in, there are no assurances that we will not be accosted, we will not have to deal with an increased amount of traffic and trash. There are safety concerns that we're concerned with about that. And also, that little triangle right there, it's right in here. Mm-hmm. They only have about 25 by 75 feet of area in there that they can park. And that area is also over top their drain field. And the reason why their drain field is over 200 feet from their facility is because the land didn't perk initially. And according to the county records, that they haven't installed the new septic system that they would have to comply with according to the code in order to upgrade it. Now, they have done taken nothing from First Simple Church and them and their leadership. They have done a marvelous job in upgrading the building. The material that they encountered that they had to clean away in order to open that area up to have access to the river had been there for probably 20 or more years. It was covered over by leaves and debris and whatnot. Naturally, once you started clearing the path to get to the river and you found these things, you would have to clean them away. So that's just a natural occurrence, a natural order of things that you would have to deal with anyway. Now, the problem here with the pier also is the pier, according to the diagram, right here, this area here, this line, according to this line actually is supposed to be, from what I was told by the county, the shoreline, the actual shoreline. And this pier would protrude back over into the wetlands area, over the marshes, the marsh grasses, and the trees, the young cypress trees that are growing there, and any of this underwater creatures that are living in that area. Now, that water, the wetland, that water recedes all the way back up to here, to the corner of my property, during high tide. And what I'm having to deal with is not only the water that comes up to the back corner of that property, but also the smell from their septic field when that water comes in there. We haven't complained to the county about it or anyone about it. Never had to, because it's not an everyday occurrence. But now once they install this pier, we feel that the water, once it comes in there, will be blocked from returning like it should. Now, it's supposed to be above that shoreline. That's according to the diagram. But I'm not an engineer, but I can foresee some problems with the way they're going to have to install that back end of that pier in there. The real problem that we're faced with is that we're sandwiched between the road that leads down to the pier, to the end of the road there, that allows them access to that path from the front of my property, and also we're sandwiched between them and walking path. Now, if you notice the width of that property, I don't know what that distance is, but I don't understand why they didn't put the walking path on the backside here and avoid me having to see them, pretty much at all, to allow the man there. Like you said, that is a separate issue, but it is an egress and ingress for them to have access to that waterway and that pier. My neighbor, Mr. Spencer, and his wife utilized their pier throughout the spring and summer and fall as much as possible. They're constantly out there. They love the water. I can't speak for them, but if I were in their position, I would be somewhat concerned that people would always be in that proximity to them out there on the pier, sunning and, relaxing and things like that. But there is no assurance that the church can control the amount of traffic that's coming in to that area. Now, that's a state-owned road, state-maintained road. I've been there 7 years, and the state has not been down there to do anything since we've been there. The road is deteriorating. It's in bad shape. We've notified them about it. So, hey, when are you going to come in and do something about this? The increased amount of traffic, I think, is going to put more wear and tear on that. Not only that, I don't know of any of the members of the church, if they live in Charles City County. They're nonprofit. They're not contributing to the tax base. If they're not residents of that county, they're not contributing to the tax base. Pastor Fry lives in Williamsburg, according to his address. So all of that is, in our estimation, a negative, a non-starter, and we highly encourage you not to approve this application, just to reconsider it. Because, like I said, when I questioned the church, for instance, about the path, about the benches, they did offer to make some amends. They said, we can move the benches. Well, my point is, why didn't you consider the sensitivities of my wife and I when you installed the benches in clear view of the back of our house? Second, why didn't you consider the sensitivities of the residents who live in that area, and that's a dead-end road, and they realize that there are other facilities available within view of the church. The James City County has a park right across the Chickahominy Bridge right there that's open to the public. It has a public boat ramp, has all the facilities there, showers and camping and everything that anyone would want to take advantage of. Like I said, we're not opposed to the church conducting baptisms and conducting their services, or even being present there. Lastly, I don't know of any church that doesn't want to grow, doesn't want to increase its membership. And that's an affront to my intelligence to stand here and say that you're only going to grow certain amount of people, and then you're going to start another church. I know people start other churches. I know church leaders do plant other churches. That's how they got here. They're part of the Westland Church out of Roanoke, and we have no objection to it, and we'd love to have them there. It's not the church. It's the pier.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Is there any questions?
Just one.
Mr. Beck.
Yes, sir. Did I understand you to say that road, which is sort of the white area behind, in front of your lot and behind the waterfront lots, is that a state road?
Yes, sir.
And
Route
does that...
Route 641.
And does that road go to the church property?
It stops right at their property. There's a... Where's the mouse?
And does the road go into the church property?
No, sir.
It stops right at the arrow.
Right there where
the
I'm
arrow?
Right there.
Well, then, I guess I wonder where the people would park.
Well, this is where they proposed parking, right here, where I have the arrow now, the pointer, mouse pointer.
Oh.
And according to the county, they were out last week. They're supposedly, someone will have to verify this, I'm going on memory now. The planning director himself told me, Mr. Matt Rowe, that they're in violation of the Wetlands Act because they've graveled that area, and it's within 100 feet of the wetlands border or boundary. And also, the gravel they put into that area is over top, the septic field. Now, so parking along that road would be impossible if they had a large event like they had the other day, if they had more people than they can handle in their parking area up on the front end up here. This is a parking area that they put in, and they have parking over behind their church. And like I said, they've done a great job of that, with one exception. This area was built up, and when they raised it, they had to raise it up at least close to a foot or more because it was low in there and it was holding water. And when they did so, they had to put a culvert in, and the culvert empties into the ditch along the right side of this road right here, and it flows down, and now it's an increase of water that flows in and floods these properties along here. And so they have an issue with VDOT about that. But like I said, the problem is what we're here to address is the pier. But these are things, like extenuating circumstances, that contribute to the problem we have with the pier.
Thank you. Is there anyone else on the opposition that wishes to be heard? All right, Dr. Fryer, we're going to give you a few minutes to rebut, and then the matter will be before the commission.
Thank you very much. As I said, it is an emotional issue, but there have been some disingenuous claims here. First of all, there has never been any cypress trees cut down. When you start looking at the RPA manual, it does give you authorization by approval of local authority to remove small branches, et cetera, for direct access path that gives you line of view. Secondly, on the erosion piece, we invested quite a bit of money from the county or from our church that complies with this out of Charles City County that says as long as the width of gravel will not exceed this width in the path, 6 foot width, we'll take the most direct path, you can proceed to gravel a passive recreation area. As I go through Ms. Fullwater's claim, he says parking isn't, I'm glad Mr. Charity put that up, because when you start looking at the area right here, and also to address Mr. Clemens' concern, that is Lot 2, which is owned by the church. That's our overflow parking. We have parking down in here behind the church. This lot 15 is also owned by the church. That is not designed for parking. Out of 35 or 60 people that were there Friday, we had one 81-year-old grandmother that parked there because she couldn't walk to see her granddaughter baptized. That's not designed for parking. It's designed to have maybe two, three vehicles there for the seniors that cannot walk, or for the people like Michael, who's part of our church plant team, that can't walk the whole way. In terms of the concern regarding having riffraff and people coming down there at all hours of the day, folks, it doesn't hold water. As a cop, I know that it's against the law to be on church property after hours unless it's by a sanctioned event. At Mr. Charity's request, we put up a sign that says church use only. We cannot prevent anybody from coming down there any more than anybody else can prevent someone from using their pier. We've requested Charles City County deputy sheriffs that they provide directed patrols on the property, and they've been doing that in the evening since we've been there. The issue with Ms. Curtis, I find is interesting about the quietness and whatnot, but yet she constructed a second home to use as a bed and breakfast for financial gain. Talks about in the objection letter about having the dogs run freely. I understand that, but there is a leash law for a period of time in Charles City County. I don't want to go into tit for tat. I've got tit for tat here, but it's not about this, folks. It's simply about the fact that the law is the law. The issues that were raised here by the neighbors have been dealt with at the Charles City County level. We have documentation that everything that's been done has been supported by them. And again, we're coming back just asking you very simply to look at the issue of the bottom lands and the tidal wetlands. That's all we're asking.
Thank you.
I don't know if this gentleman can say anything, but...
I have a question of Dr. Fry.
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Palmer.
Mr. Charity and his wife were up here previously, and they brought up the issue of the walking path behind their home. Is that something that you've discussed with them, and is there a reason why that can't be moved off of their property line to give them a bit of privacy there?
That walking path was originally, the original clearing of that was done by the previous owners, the Martin brothers. The point between two points, you know, shortest distance is a straight line. So we just went in there and we cleared that out. The issue of the bench, the day that Mr. Charity brought it to my attention, and I think he even acknowledged this, I said, Don, I will go there personally. I will move it right now because that is not our intent. So good faith has been demonstrated. We continue to demonstrate the good faith. The idea of having the benches are simply for our membership who can't walk the entire path to be able to sit there, sit every 80 feet, 100 feet, whatever it may be, but at least just to take advantage of that property.
But the benches have been moved away?
No, sir. I offered to, and Mr. Charity said, let's leave it, and then we will see if it becomes an issue. I can remove that bench in 5 minutes. We have 6 benches along the path. It's our property, and I agree with him. I would not want anybody intentionally looking in my back window either. And I would call the authorities. But the reality is, when you have neighbors use their property. And that's where Ms. Barber was coming from in her analogy.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
I think that will do it. The matter is now before the commission. Does the staff have anything else for us at this point?
I have one question of staff. When we look at the First Civil Church application, they're applying for, it says here, a 77-foot-long church community pier. When staff makes that statement, church community pier, is there some designation in our laws that talk about church community pier or just community pier?
Trying to make the distinction is that the code does provide statutory authorization for a private residential pier, but this does not qualify for that. So we view this as a community-type facility, and as a result, it requires a permit from the commission.
If this had been a residence, nothing more than a residence, would that pier have, the way it's described, met that statutory exemption?
Yes, sir.
So that means it wouldn't have been in front of us at all to consider. If it had just been owned by a resident.
That's correct.
Except that the protesters would have brought it.
The protest would have resulted in it coming.
Not for a private pier.
Not for a...
The only part of a private pier that can be protested is the boathouse portion, or if it's larger than the dimensions that are specified.
So it's exempt.
So this would have been totally exempt based on the size.
Mr. Tankard.
And so I have a follow-up question. This property transitions into... something else other than a church. The permission that we give for the community is tagged to the property, not the owner, correct?
Yes. If someone else acquires this property and they want to acquire the permit for the pier, we could transfer the permit from the church to the next entity if they wanted to continue to use it.
They wouldn't have to come before us.
Would not have to, no.
They would automatically transfer.
The only thing that might have to come before you is if they wanted to change it somehow or add to it, and we have to go through a public interest review for something different, and if it was protested, it could come back.
Any other questions for Tony? Thank you, Tony. Matters before the commission.
I think that the pier
is nothing different than any other property owner is going to have along this waterfront. I think that because it isn't owned by a resident but by a church, it gets the special review. A community function is proposed. I think it's very doubtful that simply by having the pier, you're going to add great numbers of people to the property or use of the property that wouldn't otherwise be using the property as part of the church function. They're going to the water. They're doing the baptisms now, even without the pier. So I just don't see where the designation of it being a community for this, for the church and its use, is going to add great numbers. I don't know about future uses. And what it may result in, but denying them the pier based on drawing potential people to the property, I'm not sure holds for me. I think they're already going to be doing that. So for that reason, I'd make a motion now to approve the pier as proposed.
There's a second to the motion to approve. Seconded by Mr. Beck. Comments on the motion? I would just note for the record that the pier, the structure of the pier, appears to conform to VIMS and staff recommendations in terms of size and orientation and height to minimize impacts on vegetated tidal wetlands from shading. Any other comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries unanimously in the permit is approved.